I set off for the airport with $5,000 wadded up in my right front pocket, an around-the-world ticket in my hands, a new backpack, a new pair of great big Italian mountain boots, several pairs of allegedly sweat-proof polyester socks, 38 rolls of film, and my dad's Olympus OM-1 camera, which he had kept in immaculate condition for the past 15 years, not a scratch or ding on it. My parents had spooled out the leash farther, much farther, God bless them, even though I wasn't getting any college credit, and what I was about to embark on ran the risk of making me never want to come back. "What were we going to do?" my mom later told me. "After that first summer, you had gone to another world we knew nothing about." This time I was going for a whole glorious year. I'd been working the previous summers to make this happen. It felt very bold at the time, but once I made my decision, I never second-guessed it. I was dropping out. Dan approved. He had done the same thing right after high school. His guidance counselor at the International School of Kenya, a beautiful school on a hillside outside Nairobi, had responded to his decision dismissively. "Oh, I see," she had said. "You're taking a year off." "No, no," Dan corrected her. "I'm taking a year on." 1992 was the perfect year for a year on. It was a new dawn, one of those hopelessly optimistic periods where past mistakes are eclipsed by a future not yet here. The Soviet Union had just said dosvidaniya to itself. The Cold War had suddenly ended. The United States was embarking on the longest-running economic expansion in its history. And Al-Qaeda was barely a twinkle in Osama's eye. People liked us, at least that's how it felt. In Egypt, all I had to do was walk down the sidewalk, hold out my right hand and bark, "Edok!" And I'd get the loudest, friendliest smack. Edok means your hand in Arabic. The ease of a high five says a lot. And in 1992, for the most part, it was a world of easy high fives. For one, none of us had a cell phone in our hands. This was right before the communication revolution. About 16 civilians knew what email was. The result was an immersion that was about to be rendered impossible for forever onward. From Chicago to New Guinea, I hit 4 continents and 17 countries, spending more time in Kenya than anywhere else. I arrived in Nairobi in the spring. "Amazing, man, just amazing," Dan said from his porch, where he was waiting for me. "I just heard you talking to the askari." It was only the Swahili basics that I'd inflicted on Dan's guard. My accent, plywood. None of that music native Swahili speakers make the instant they open their mouths. But Swahili was like a little key, unlocking that other world. "You learned all that in a classroom?" I beamed. "Come on, man," Dan said, clapping an arm around my shoulder. He was a little thicker now, some stubble on his chin. His hair was combed straight back, and he wore a white t-shirt, black jeans, and a black leather vest. He looked like a handsome greaser.